Okay, here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. You've had quite
hello, a... Hello, Cindy.
You have had quite a week. Of course, you know, every time you're in, you know, you take off from a show, it's like, you know, front page news kind of stuff that keeps you off the show.
So it's just crazy. It's crazy.
It's not your average. It's not your average everyday stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And,
no.
I mean, do you want to Do you want to share any of it with our listeners? I didn't mention it last week on air at all because I wasn't sure how you felt about it, but I saw you've been posting things about on Facebook for the Fund Me and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think it was okay for you to talk about, but I wanted you to do it, not me.
Okay. All right. And you'll have to excuse me, guys, if you hear things in the background. The puppy has decided that he's going to start zooming around just as the show started. Figures he was sleeping straight through dinner. And now he's just running around in circles, sliding on the floor with his toy. So so I apologize for the background noise and the jingling. but, yes, yeah, so anyway, last week, for you people that are native to Long Island, you know, I'm sure that on News 12 and on Verizon 1 and even on the major networks, CBS, Channel 7 and Channel 4, NBC, there was a suspected arson in Ronkonkoma, and that was my sister-in-law's house. So,
oh boy!
Needless to say, we had gotten up. We had gotten a call at about 5 a.m., and you know, with her in absolute hysterics, you know, screaming about how her house was burning and her cars were burning and everything was burning. And of course, we raced over there. And we were with her for, you know, right straight into the night until about midnight. Just trying to, like, keep her under control and trying to work with the police to find out who would do something like this. So, yeah, it was a very, very, you know, drama-filled day for us. And, you know, of course, we have been, staying very, very in close contact with her, making sure that she's okay and making sure that things are getting done. For any of the people that listen to the show that are friends with me on Facebook, you saw that I did put up a GoFundMe to add insult to injury to everything. It figures that, you know, you pay insurance premiums for a reason. And when it came down to her fiancé's vehicles, because they were older vehicles and he only had liability on them, even though they were parked on the property, homeowners will not cover the replacements of the vehicles. They will only cover what was inside of the vehicles. So, you know, he's a contractor and he lost his work van. You know, so now this poor guy, in addition to getting, you know, in addition to you know, waiting, having to wait to get all his tools replaced, once they do replace his tools, he's not going to be able to go back to work anyway because he doesn't have a van that's not being covered. So, yeah, it was a mess. It was an absolute mess.
Wow. And Nick, maybe there's a little messages for people to make sure their insurances cover what lots of stuff that maybe you're not aware. Sometimes people have to read their insurance policies a little closer, and maybe it's a little wake-up call for people. But that was terrible. That's why I said, you know, on Nicole's page and on my page, because I've, and mind you, just go to Cindy Sansom Braff on Facebook, and I friend anybody. There's the GoFundMe and how you could just, you know, give $1, $2, $10, $20, whatever you have will help defray some of those costs. And, you know, Nicole's always so good. Nicole's the first one. And you want to be with Nicole. Like, if you're in a foxhole, you want to be with Nicole, because Nicole is the one that... Nicole's the one that will be everything
I'm
under
like
control.
MacGyver when it comes to that stuff. We were actually playing a game in my office one day. And it was just kind of like a what if, like what if this happened, what if that happened, you know. And one of the questions was, if you ever got stranded on a deserted island, who would you take with you from the office? And of like the 10 people that were there, 9 of them said me.
Oh, I'm so shocked. I would never have guessed that. So I believe it because, you know, Nicole's very calm under pressure. And she's very clear thinking, and she immediately executes, you know, what needs to be done, and immediately. So that's why I love her. That's why we couldn't have a better co-host and producer of this show, because Nicole is the one that's just so quick thinking and so great. I mean, last week when you weren't here, it's so cute because Jean Steele, who always is our devoted listener and the best comforter makers, and we have these nice, like, you know, little crocheted, not little, huge crocheted bedspreads keep us warm on cold nights. She said, well, if you ever need me to help you, like screen calls, I can do it. Now, isn't she the sweetest thing?
I loved you.
No, I didn't ask her for help, and she's like, just, you know, volunteered, and I was like, wow, she's just so great. I mean, because, you know, when I have to do them without you, I'm okay. Okay, you know, I didn't make anything like stop working last week. I mean, but it was funny because the music wouldn't stop playing. I don't know why. There was a couple little glitches, and I'm like, oh God, help! And then the music went off, so it was kind of funny.
You missed me when I'm not around.
I did. And I will tell you, everybody misses you. So, you know, this show could not be here without Nicole, because she's the one that, you know, just keeps everything running and smoothing and going. So without her, I'm only half a show here. And
thank you very much, Cindy. And I felt so terrible for not being there for you last week, too. I was
okay.
Like,
you know, it's so funny because
like,
you try
to steal an hour just to do go and help out, even if I just took the hour. But you know what? Like I was like, damn it, even if I had my computer, because I was like, okay, well, maybe I can, you know, grab Victoria's laptop. But Victoria's laptop was in the house. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, and then I was like, okay, maybe if I grab my computer. I'm like, what the hell am I saying? You know, we're standing in front of a burnt house that's got no electric. Where the hell am I getting Wi-Fi from? You know, so
I tried to work around it. Well, I know you did, and it's funny because, you know, when you family, you know, that has to take a priority, and, you know, sometimes, you know, in theater, the show must go on, and I sort of got a reputation among some of my extended family that all I cared about was money because, you know, I was a children's entertainer, and you remember that, but I had to be Cinderella, Snow White, Clown, and someone might die, you know, they do that. And I would have to leave the funeral, go dress in a bathroom and leave a Cinderella or something. And people would think,
Oh,
she cares about is the money. And I'd be like, no, there's a little girl expecting Cinderella at her birthday party. And I'm not breaking her heart. And I would clearly hear the dead people go, no, go do your part. Go do your party. Go do what you have to do. You know, this has to be done. So it was never a question of the money. It was a question of the show had to go on. So it's one of those things. Because I can do it without you, the show had to go on, and I know where your heart was and your soul. You know, I would never be a person saying someone has to do something when they have other family obligations. It's just, you know, funny with me, and when people would just look at me and say, I can't believe she's leaving the funeral to go be Cinderella. Yeah, you think I want to be doing this? You think I'm not embarrassed to be getting dressed in a bathroom and walking out like this? You know, it would be just funny how people sometimes judge situations without really knowing how important it is that for a child when it's their birthday party. I mean, you know, it's everything for them. And, of course,
the
poor mother.
I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. I mean.
And the poor mother with 25 kids and nobody to entertain them in her house. You know, it's.
Oh, God.
So I actually did 10,000 live performances and never missed one, no matter what.
That's
so
awesome.
Now, isn't that awesome? And it's always just been my mantra. The show must go on. The show must go on. And, you know, with our radio show, unfortunately, sometimes we do have to cancel. Things happen. But you know when it happens, it's usually it's a catastrophe when we cancel.
When it happens, it's for a good reason.
It's for a good reason.
For damn sure.
Absolutely. Now, it's so funny. I want to tell you a little bit of what I manifested this week, not all by myself, of course, but, you know, Shauna finished school and she's been looking for a job, and She wanted one in sort of PR, and she'd like it on Long Island, which is not that easy. You know, you just have to go into the city. And finally, I had a heart-to-heart talk with God like 3 days ago, specifically Jesus. Okay, Jesus, like I'm calling in favors here. You know, I'm always helping everybody. You know, I expect you to get my kid a job already. Okay, like please, I'm asking you, and let it be local for her because that's what she wants, and in PR. And lo and behold, the next day she gets a call from one of her resumes, and today she got the job. So I'm just laughing that it only took 2.5 days for this to manifest when I finally got a little bit pissed. And, you know, that's how Jesus and I talk to each other. I'm like okay, I'm pissed now. Here.
This is how we talk to each other. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have done everything you've been asking, so please answer this prayer. So I just thought it was really funny because I try not to call in favors. That's the ironic part about it. I kind of let the universe, okay, do what it's got to do. But after a certain amount of time, I start calling in favors. And whenever I do, they like seem to work. Like with Miss Jean Steele, who we love, when she was job hunting, I called in favors for her because she is one person who just, and she has a great job. So there are certain times when we just call in the favors. And I love it. I said, but I don't do it that often. I almost never ask for myself, by the way. And one, you know, there was a time in my life when I wanted to ask for something. It wasn't that long ago, but I had made a deal with God about 20 years ago. If he allowed something to happen, I would never ask for another favor. So I have not asked for one in probably 20 years. And I did ask about a year ago for a favor, and I said, I know I'm not supposed to ask because I made that deal. And I heard the voice of Jesus said, you think we honored that deal? You could have asked us for favors for 19 years. You know,
that's awesome. You know?
So I just want to tell people, if you need something to manifest, you know, go directly to whoever you is your guiding light. It could be Buddha. It could be Muhammad. It could be the Mother Mary. It could be an angel. It could be someone that you love who's crossed over. You know, call in your favors once in a while and call them in for others, too, because sometimes, you know, what we call in for others has a little more weight. And so we're going to call in a favor. And I'm getting to the point of this whole thing. We're calling in a favor for your sister-in-law and the wonderful man that she lives with, that these people who hurt them be brought to justice, that they get some, you know, money that they deserve through all this mess, and that they get a nice new home to live in, and that they heal from the trauma of this, because this is really,
yeah, and,
you know,
and like poor little dog too. I mean, like even her, she's got like a little not a Pomeranian. What's the other little small one with the squishy face?
Oh, a pug.
Not a pug. The other one. Pekingese.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm
not very good at dogs.
Yeah, no, neither am I. But she's got a little Pekingese Emma who's got like a growth. She's got like a bone disorder. So like one of her paws like is like growing the wrong way. So this dog is like hopping around on three legs. She, you know, she swam in Lake Ronkonkoma, and then she got a really, really bad bacteria. And now she's on like special medicine and everything else. And now with believe it or not, with the upheaval and with the drama that the dog has faced, the dog is on anti-anxiety medicine.
The
stress has literally caused hip dysplasia in the puppy.
Okay, now you need to say that again, because you could see that stress. Stress will make us sick, animals sick, people sick. And, you know, that's why we just have to pray.
Yes, literally, the vet said that this poor dog was so
traumatized,
so stressed out, and so it's not only the actual trauma, it's the tension. She is so tense that literally her muscles are tightening up and causing her bones to go out of place.
Oh boy!
Wow. So if that could happen to a dog, imagine what stress does to us.
Oh boy, for sure, and that's why. You know, we have to, like, learn ways to control our stress if we can. And obviously that dog's an empath, because a dog's feeling the stress more than, say, perhaps some other dogs can be. You know, it's not a plus to be an empath, because you just feel more of the stress. And a lot of people that have social anxiety or have anxiety in general are just empaths, and they could just feel the tension in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right into them and right through them. So that dog must be a really empath dog, by the way. So when it gets through this, it's kind of being one of those dogs that just knows how to comfort somebody and probably mm-hmm. be the sweetest
exactly.
little thing when it grows up. It's just too little to do. You know, it's like, I'm little. I can't help anybody right now. I'm only a little puppy. You know, aw.
Yeah, I'm so cute.
Well, we do have a lot of callers, and there's one very interesting, Jessica, and she's actually one of the first callers, a 917-231 number, and she's been calling in regularly, and, you know, she's just the sweetest thing, and maybe we can let her fill in our listeners on to what her story is, but she's the one who's, you know, has a boyfriend, and she's been having some difficulty with him, and, well, we'll let her tell the story. So,
all right.
You can,
so
you
we're
going
to go to the one that's right under you, right, Cindy?
Right.
All right. Let's go talk to her. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, Jessica, my sweetheart. I was thinking about you 2 days ago, so I manifested you today too.
Oh, very
I was like,
good.
I have to know what's happening with Jessica. You know, you might want to fill in briefly your little story so our listeners can hear. I like when you tell it because you know, I want to make sure I get everything right. So.
Okay. So obviously I've been seeing somebody for the past few months, and he's not a boyfriend now, but he feels like a boyfriend, like a soulmate connection, but there's just this underlying sadness that he has, and I feel like, I don't know, sometimes when I go to his house, like there's signs from some other realm that are telling me like that he is a good person and to give him a chance, but I don't know if it's because his mother passed away at a very young age and he doesn't know his real father. So I feel like there's that emotional disconnect, but at the same time, I feel like there's that emotional deep connection. So I don't know what to do. I'm very confused at this point if I should keep on going and if I should be patient. And also that talk that you gave earlier about stress, it's so true because I'm working 2 nursing jobs, so I'm pretty stressed on top of it.
Right, and so you're at your outer limits. Now, it's funny because his mom is definitely a person who guides you. There's no doubt about it. She's, you know, the one sometimes telling you to hang in there. Now, when people, you know, lose a parent through death or abandonment when they're very young, they often have trouble loving. It's just the way it is. I mean, she had brought you in alignment with him, hoping that your soulmate love, and you guys had that very strong soulmate connection. Do you remember when you first met?
Yes.
Having that heart, soul, mind, body connection. Because he's unhealed, and you know, it's very hard for someone who's got major issues to deal with soulmate love, because soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. So you can have a lower level of love and these issues may never surface. You can have toxic love and what it'll do is allow you to be angry behind closed doors and then look normal in the outside world. So you won't really heal issues, you'll just go on raging. But he didn't do enough inner homework prior to his mother bringing the soulmate. That's the problem. Like if he had done certain amounts of healing all along, then, you know, the healing from the abandonment from his father and his mother's death would be like a whammy he has to heal, but he would have done other healing along the way. He really hasn't done much inner homework, you know, prior to the bringing of the soulmate. So now all of it's coming forth. Does he have addictions? Does he drink? Does he do drugs? Does he do anything to distract?
He does smoke a lot of cigarettes. He does.
Okay, because, you know, it's funny because there's a definite addiction card here. Now, even though cigarettes people think isn't the worst addiction, in some ways it is because you can smoke every 10 or 15 minutes just when, you know, thoughts want to surface. You go smoke and then you repress them and deny them. So it's almost as like all day long repressing. And if he perhaps didn't smoke cigarettes since he was fairly young, some of these issues would have healed. The problem with trying to quit cigarettes then, if you've been smoking 10 or 15 years or people that are smoking 30 years, is all these issues you've never faced come welling up at you. I mean, even if you're drinking, you can't drink every 10 or 15 minutes. If you're shooting heroin, you can't do it every 10 or 15 minutes. Cigarettes is an addiction that just really keeps people denying and suppressing their feelings. So that's part of the problem why he hasn't healed things. He has a lot of anxiety, by the way. And I think the cigarettes help keep that a little bit in check.
Yeah.
And know that, you know, he loves you, but, you know, you're starting to wonder, is this like all giving and not receiving from him? And you've been with him how many months, by the way, exactly?
It's August. Five, and he told me he wants, like a few months ago, that I was the first person he wanted to take to Mexico, and then we got into a little argument because I wanted to be more serious with him, and then he got upset, and then he brought it up again, make sure you take off the week of February, and I haven't heard since, and I'm a little upset because I feel like I'm being toyed around with, but you know, I don't know how to approach this without seeming like I don't want to seem like I care too much, but I think this is a deciding factor if I'm going to go forward with him or not.
Well, first of all, you have to, you know, he can't call the shots, but you know, he's a commitment phobic. He's afraid of commitment. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to take off from work. You have to make all these arrangements. So
mm-hmm.
he can't just ignore this. I mean, do you not see him anymore? You're not talking to him?
Every week, but I just kind of didn't want to bring it up because I'm not sure. Maybe it gives me anxiety or
okay.
I don't know.
Okay, this is what I call the pink elephant in the room. The pink
mm-hmm.
elephant in the room is what we need to talk about, okay? You're skirting around this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say what you mean what you say. Don't be mean about it. Say, you know, you had brought up that we were going to go to Mexico, and I really need to know because I have to get some clothes. I have to get ready. I have to, you know,
mm-hmm.
get my work in order. And if he doesn't answer the question, that already is a pretty big sign that he's a narcissist because narcissists never answer the questions we ask.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, he's a moody guy, by the way. There's a lot of moods in here.
Mm-hmm, very.
And, you know, you should still be on your honeymoon. You've only been together 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he really feels very strongly about you. He has very strong feelings, but he doesn't want to love you. He doesn't trust that you won't abandon him. You know, even if you say, I'll never leave you, you could die on him. So, you know, you can't assure him that you're never going to die. So
yeah, he does say that. He says that he's scared that every time he gets closer with somebody, that woman will disappear out of his life.
Right. And know that part of it is he's setting them up to leave. You loved him and felt the soulmate connection from the moment you met him, a recognition factor. And you
mm-hmm.
were ready to put 2 feet in there and plant some roots.
Yeah.
But his behaviors are making you want to run. So maybe
yeah.
he's blaming it on the women. But, you know, if you want someone to stay in your life, you treat them like the greatest thing since sliced bread. You tell them 100 times a day you love them, how beautiful they are, how much you care for them. You do things, your actions say stay.
Yeah.
If you're given mixed messages and you're not doing those things, don't be surprised when people walk out on you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you might want to just, you know, put the cards on the table that you don't know if you're going away, what's the story, and that, you know, you really care about him, but he's pushing you away. And that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you claim that people run from you, but I think you push them away.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're under obligation karmically when you're dealing with a soulmate to tell the truth. Now, if he turns and twists and says that, you know, you're all fucked up, it's all your fault, or whatever, I mean, you know, you're going to have to take that he's not hearing what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But he could also just hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, you can't always tiptoe around a person. Older souls, you're a very old soul, Jessica, are afraid
mm-hmm.
to hurt people. They don't like to rock the boat. They're peacemakers. So they're crap takers. They're enablers. But, you know, you matter. I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. What would you tell her to do in this situation? You know, you would tell her she matters.
Yeah.
Like, your feeling, you know, your feelings matter. He doesn't want to ever leave you. I mean, he loves you, but he's terrified and he's scared. And when you talk and communicate to him, does he talk intimately about other things, or does he just not talk about anything that matters in general?
Well, when I used to talk to you in the past about the ex-boyfriend of 4 years that never would look me in the eye, I have the most deepest connection with him, like, always looking at me in the eye and, like, really not letting go, and that's something I've always wanted. So, like, we have amazing... We have
a deep connection. There's
yeah,
a deep connection here.
For hours. Like, it's amazing.
Well, why don't you just talk about this, and you know, women are very publicly emancipated, but very privately enslaved to men. The way you're behaving is that he's your master. Like, he's going to tell me that I could go to Mexico or not. Now, that goes back to collective thinking of women, in which the men called all the shots. Mm-hmm. I think you're just going to have to say, look, I mean, you know, if you want me to, I want to go to Mexico, I'd love to. I mean, didn't these tickets have to be bought already?
He supposedly won them because he's a writer, so he won some kind of writing contest. So,
So you won a writing contest. Now I even like him better. Okay, so he's a writer. Loving this. Okay, good. So he's sensitive. He's good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So why don't you just ask him, because it could sort of be a honeymoon for the two of you in a way that you could spend some, you know, unbroken time together, relaxed, you know, in warm weather, swimming, having fun. And also, you know, it could be a deal breaker. Sometimes you can't spend 5 days in a hotel room with someone. You're like, oh, my God, this person makes you crazy that close. I mean, you have to really be close to be able to spend 5 days in a hotel room.
Yeah.
So, you know, it looks like, you know, he hasn't forgotten. I mean, who would he bring if he didn't bring you, by the way?
That's the mystery.
Okay. How often do you see him?
Like two, three times a week, depends. I've been working a lot lately, and I mean, in the beginning, I gave him all my time almost, because I wanted to spend, like, every day with him. But now, since I'm working, like, 6 days a week, I know he's a little upset with that, so.
Okay, so do you try to make him feel special even on the nights you're working? Do you speak to each other on the phone? Do you sometimes just have him see you? Do you live with your parents still? I do. Okay, so you can't just spontaneously have him come over too much. It's not.
No, I just come over to his place because he lives by himself. So.
And how far away from you does he live?
Literally, like, 5 minutes, and it's so convenient because all my boyfriends were in Long Island, so I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
All right, so can you sometimes say, can I stop over and spend an hour with him, even if you're tired? He feels a little abandoned, and that's bringing up, you know, his mom is a nice lady, by the way.
And
she's very sweet. She's saying he feels abandoned. I mean, could you arrange that you could, even though you're working a lot, to see each other? I mean, that's the wonderful part about when you live with someone. You know, I work a lot of hours, too. But because I live with my husband, you know, we can have spontaneous time in the morning. We can have, like, we just had dinner together. We had lunch together. We can have time because we're in the house together or, you know, at the end of the night. So, you know, even if you could just say, well, can I just stop over and, you know, see you for an hour? See if that would help reconnect a little bit. You know, you're just going to have to ask him about it. His mother would kill him if he doesn't take you to Mexico, by the way. Totally going to kill him. I just have to hang up my phone. The battery's dying. Although it wasn't. I have another phone, but I don't know why that died. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we must have a lot of psychic energy going through from the mother because that battery was well charged. And I'm like, oh, okay. That went down. That's pretty peculiar to me. But anyway, know that, you know, he's been brought to you as a soulmate. Don't give up yet until you, I mean, he's, you know, he's basically a very good guy. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, he basically is a good man. He's scared. He's frightened. You know, he's a writer. Maybe he could write some of his feelings he has about you to you.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be nice. But I'm seeing, you know, he probably still wants to take you to Mexico. I'm not saying that he doesn't want to take you, but you have to talk about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I mean, the soulmate cards keep coming up on you guys. You know, you're freaking. But, you know, we have a lot of women listeners. What I'm trying to tell women is, like, nothing, life is not a mystery. Like, when you need to know something, ask.
Yeah, you're right.
Am I right? If you learn this when you're young, just ask.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I'm very aggressive sometimes, and I, like, when I want to know something, I feel like it scares him, so.
Oh, well, then maybe you can't sound like a tiger. Maybe you just have to make love to him and, you know, right afterwards say, oh, and wouldn't it be great just to be in Mexico and, like just lie around on the beach like this? How about, you know, women, you know, where's your tender trap? Where's your, you know, you can ask a man anything after you've made love to him, by the way. You know, like,
it's so funny.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's true. So, you know, try to do it then and just say, oh, because I just look forward to this. Just making love and, you know, stuff like that. I mean,
okay.
Okay, well, who could resist that? Oh, we're going to go to Mexico. I'm going to get a lot of sex. Oh, yeah, we're going. So remember to say things, you know, with your feminine charms that you have,
mm-hmm.
because it really does work a lot, you know, instead of like, you know, coming off a little bit more aggressive, because sometimes some people just don't like that. It doesn't go over well.
Yeah.
And again, you know, nobody's saying you're not a good person, but, you know, a little honesty tempered with kindness and being polite and gentle
mm-hmm.
with people, it really goes a long way. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever hear kids, you know, you scream at kids, they don't hear a word you say. You kind of
mm-hmm.
say it softly or gently, all of a sudden they all listen. Oh, what's she saying? Oh, they hear you. You know, as a children's entertainer, people say, how can you control 35 kids? I'm not trying to control them. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I never had to raise my voice. I was very sweet. And
yeah.
they responded. So he's a good guy worth fighting for. Again, you're getting near the six-month mark. So the prince that becomes the beast or a relationship that isn't going to work is pretty apparent by this six-month mark.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to still fight for him, make this month a month of fighting to see where this is going to go.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, you are working a lot and you're tired. And sometimes we have to remember, you know, when we're working and we're tired, you know, the rest of our life can sort of fall apart
mm-hmm.
if we're not looking. So, you know, me being a workaholic, I know what I'm telling you. You know,
mm-hmm.
somehow you have to find time for him. Does he feel neglected? Does he feel like you're not there for him?
I think so, but at the same time, you know, he could try a little bit harder, I feel like. I feel like I put in more work, so.
Okay, well, you know, men have blind spots a little bit. Maybe you have to teach him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how women have to instruct and teach men how to treat a woman. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can say, you know, I really love when you do such and such, you know, the way you say it. And if
yeah.
he does do something kind to you, really, like, let him know you love it. You know, like, oh, that was really great. Thank you.
Okay, I mean, I will do that.
You understand that? I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, tonight TJ made dinner. I was going to make, but I was doing reading still, and I came out and dinner was made. I was like, oh, thank you so much. That was so sweet, so great. I mean, you just have to thank people. You know what I mean? Just, it kind of makes everybody feel good, and then they do it again. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just, and did your parents take each other for granted, by the way?
No, not that. They had, like, total true romance story. Like, my dad would always bring flowers to my mom when she was leaving work and, like, buy her fruits, and they were amazing together, and they still love each
okay,
other.
Okay, so that's what you're expecting, and he had a father who abandoned a mother. So
yeah.
What
mm-hmm.
role model does he have? It might be good if he could spend some time at your house. Has he ever come to your house?
No, he's not yet, no.
Okay, maybe that would be good as he met your parents and sort of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So think about that, because
okay.
he really doesn't have a good, strong role model as a male. I think his mother was brilliant to bring your parents as what she would hope would be in-laws and a father who would teach him how to treat a woman. And this woman
yeah.
is a smart woman, his mother. To pick
very.
You.
She went to, like, a Cambridge University, very, very intellectual.
Well, I'm just telling you, she's a smart woman to have, like, picked your family, so
yeah.
maybe he could, you know, sort of, you know, blossom under like a family environment. So
that'd be nice.
Maybe you should, you know, share that nice family with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, you'll call in again, and we want to try to take another caller or two. So good luck
okay.
to you, Jessica. You know, I'd love to hear from you. And
yes,
could you let
you
us
so
know
much.
What happens? You know, everybody's going to wonder if you're going to Mexico, so you got to call back in. You know, this is a continuing saga
we'll
here. You know,
we'll do.
She needs to
so go
to
Mexico. I don't think.
Bye.
Bye.
Isn't she the cutest
Aww.
Thing?
She's adorable.
You know, it's so funny because people just get so nervous just to say the obvious. You know what I mean? Just to ask
yep.
the obvious. I think we all do that. We're all like kind of tiptoeing around all the time.
I don't
and,
tiptoe. I just throw them right in like a
bowl. Oh, that's why I like
stuff.
You. That's why I like you because you know I'm usually, sometimes I'm a tiptoer. And, you know, you're a person who'll just, like, say it like it is and, you know, get it there and get that
message. That's why I'm
message.
Good with the tough love in these situations.
Oh, I know. And I'm such a wuss. I mean, really.
You're a little wussy. It's okay. I love you anyway.
I'm back on Earth because I was a great enabler. Carried everybody's cross, cleaned up everybody's mess, and never let anybody suffer the consequences of their actions. And I do hear reaming from the voice of Jesus often, Cindy. You're going to carry that cross on. I'm going to have to yank you up and take you up here with me because I don't want you ka-chinging up negative karma. So either put down that cross or you're coming up here. So I used to say, I'll put down the cross. Thank you. So, you know, I'll put down that person's cross. That's not my own. But it's not easy. You know, my nature is
listen,
I want to
fix.
I
was infamous for some of that stuff. I was absolutely infamous for some of that stuff. You know, and it's like, because of you, I have learned to put down other people's crosses. So.
And I do it myself. I do it with a little bit of angst, sometimes a lot of guilt, which I know is unearned.
Yeah.
And, you know. But I do it, and it is getting a little bit easier, by the way. It is getting easier.
No, it definitely
pretty much
is, because you know what? Ultimately, you have the right lesson there, you know? You always have the right lesson. So, and it's like you know that you're not putting it down because you're being lazy because you don't want to help. You're putting it down because you're not doing anybody any justice by doing it for them.
Exactly. And, you know, I think if anybody's listened to our show, a lot of people tell us, by the way, that they listen to the show regularly, that we've really helped empower them, that they really are learning how better ways of interacting. And they hear us.
Yeah.
Like, we're pretty open sharing, like, you know, what we do, what we don't do, what we've done right, what we've done wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, every day is a learning experience. But the more you learn to, like, get out of the way, not carry crosses, you know, the less God brings those people into your life. So it's not even that I have to consciously choose not to carry the cross. God doesn't really bring me those people, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of saves me from myself at this point, you know, like,
Well, you know what? I mean, I said that to somebody recently, you know, something had happened to the, you know, between he and his boyfriend right before the holidays, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, he ran up my cards and he did this and he did this and he did this. And, you know, I was just like, well, listen, I said, you need to hold him accountable. And he's like, no, it's not worth it. And he doesn't have anything. And I said, listen, I said, it's not about him having anything or it's not about him even paying you restitution. I said, this is about you putting it out into the universe that this type of behavior is not acceptable to you and that you are holding somebody accountable for their actions. I said, because it's like, you know, it's like the old proverb, you teach a man to fish, you feed him forever, and you know, you give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. It's kind of a similar concept. You know, if you don't hold people responsible for their own actions and for their own choices, you're not teaching them. Karma is not teaching them. All you're doing is letting them get away with this for the day and allowing them to persist and persist and persist without ever really learning anything and without having that knowledge and bringing that pain onto other people, you know? So, however, if you show them that this is not acceptable and that this is not acceptable human behavior, let alone acceptable behavior for you, you know, to be somebody who is eligible to be in your life, then you are now teaching them that, listen, you know, I cannot always take what I want, and if I want a more favorable result, that I'd better act more favorably because I will be held accountable.
Right. And see, that's great. So you really are like the voice of not only grant me higher love, but why good people can't leave bad relationships. You're like a real, you know, you're like a walking testimony to those. And by the way,
I've gone through them both.
Good. And by the way, why good people can't leave bad relationships was recommended by the Institute of Personal Development, which is run by a whole host of psychiatrists, which I thought was interesting. And Grant Me a Higher Love, Whole Joy Catalog in conjunction with Amazon, has called it one of the greatest books of the laws of love, and the greatest text written on the laws of love. Don't you? Isn't that great? I was like,
that is fantastic.
Whoa. I was like, whoa. And it's up there with all major, you know, books that you like, The Soulmate Secret, and all the books that have like major publishers. And I was like, ooh, this is very good. You know? This is exciting news. So every time we get a little plug of that, more people will read the book, more people will be like-minded, love-minded, and we'll reinforce with each other because we need more people to be saying what we're saying. You know, it's not your cross to carry. Put that down. And so, you know, the more people that say it, instead of having people guilt us or look at us like we're not being good because we just let that person, like, fall where they fell, and we didn't pick them up. We need more people to say, well, just walk over that body until that one picks themselves up. We need more people to reinforce that rather than people turning around and say, boy, she's not very nice. you know.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean? And it's like one of the great things, and I say this from personal experience, one of the great things, guys, about Cindy's book is that, you know, it's almost like I've read a lot of different sorts of self-help books. I read a lot, you know. Every chance I get, I'm usually reading something, you know. I mean, so I can probably get through maybe about 4 books a month or whatever, 2 of which are usually like pleasure reading, and then 2 of which are usually some sort of personal development. And when I read a lot of other people's personal development, I almost feel, especially when it comes to relationships, I almost feel like the author is almost being somewhat judgmental, you know, or that a lot of the things in there just don't apply to me, or, you know, I guess the overall tone of the books is just not really, really very, very embraceable to me. And one thing that I love about Cindy's books is that, like, they're borderline workbooks. And they're very, very relatable. You know, she doesn't really go into, you know, what you're doing necessarily wrong or what the other person's doing that's wrong. And, you know, there's no chastising in there. It's literally like you're having a conversation with somebody and it reads that way. Like you're just talking very, very candidly about things, and it's an easy, easy read. On both of your books are very, very easy reads. You know, and that's just the one thing that's great, is that you don't feel like you're in the wrong, really, for making a mistake. You feel like somebody's just saying, listen, you know what? You could be doing this better versus you're wrong for doing this. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And exactly. And it's very hard because you don't want to feel that you're judging people, because when you judge them, then, you know, they get on the defensive. You just want to, you know, talk about this is what people do. And more I try to get to the historic roots of dysfunction, that, you know, I didn't start the dysfunction. My parents didn't start it. My grandparents, it's been going on for thousands of years. So, you know, we're all dysfunctional. So let's just figure out where the dysfunction may have started and how we can be the first ones to end it. And it's pretty empowering when you realize that, you know, and you stop blaming, you know, the past and blaming everybody for whatever mess. So, I mean, you know, the books are very written by me, very, very hard work and research, but very channeled as well. So, you know, it's the channeling that helps me, you know, realize the right words to say and rewriting them a million times so that they're easy reads. Okay, you know. Simplifying. It's very hard to simplify complex things, you know, and the only way you can simplify complex things is if you understand them very deeply. And that's what I had to do. I had to understand all this very deeply. But again, I will pick up the books, either one of them, and say, I wrote this? Doesn't seem like I wrote this. The universe will go, Cindy, you know this stuff. And I go, no, I don't. And they'll say, go open to page 25. In your book, and I'll open it, and it's exactly what I need guidance on. And I'm like, man, I know this stuff. You know, it's kind of incredible.
Hey, you know
to
what?
Me.
You're human. Just because you wrote it doesn't mean that you know you have it in the forefront of your mind always. You know, you're still going to have to refer back. You know, I mean, I've read your books. I don't even know how many times, and you know what? I still have to refer back sometimes. You know, we're human. You know, we're human, and there's always an opportunity for growth. I mean, even to this day, I'm sure that if I went and read one of your books, you know, tomorrow, I would find something that I didn't pick up on the first time. You know?
Exactly.
So I mean, and it's just like that. It all depends on where you're at in life, and it depends on, you know, really, you know, the situations that you're in. It depends on your mindset when you read it once versus another. You know, I mean, it's completely different every time, you know, and like I said, it's not judgmental, it's not chastising, you know, it's the difference between saying, you know, hey, your ass looks fat in those jeans versus those are not my favorite pants on you, you know, Cindy says those are not my favorite pants on you, whereas other people say, hey, your ass looks fat in those jeans, so, you know, I kind of like your way better.
That's very funny. Now, we have a couple of listeners still.
We do.
Okay, so let's go over to Lyndon, Pennsylvania, and see if we can give her a quick general reading, because she,
absolutely.
you can describe her to me, what's going on.
Actually, Linda used to work on Thursday nights, but way back when Linda was not working on Thursday nights, she used to listen to the show, and she actually called in a couple times. So it's been a while since Linda has called in, and she's just looking for a general 2016 reading. And, you know, she also wants to know on the side note that, you know, she's kind of been with somebody for 2 years, and she wants to know if it's going to go anywhere else. So let's speak to Linda in PA.
Okay, great.
Hello, Linda, you're on the
air.
Hi
there.
Hi, Linda.
Hi,
well,
ladies.
We remember you. And, you know, I was very excited to see that Linda from Pennsylvania was calling in because,
God. We used to get to talk and I used to listen to you. And then for the past almost 4 years now, I've been working on Thursday night. So I couldn't talk to you, but I hurt my back putting away my Christmas decorations. You know, one little move and the whole spaz thing happened. So I'm like, oh, Cindy's on tonight.
Okay, so God had to hurt your back to get your to slow down and listen to us. But it's so funny because, you know, I remember you because you have such good energy. You got the Ace of Wands about this year, so you're supposed to have a very peaceful year. Kind of come to some understandings where you want to go a year from now. I'm glad you asked about your relationship because, 2 years is an awful long time to not be going much, you know, going anywhere. And
I think it's funny you were saying women use their women-wise tender ways. And, you know, and I mean, he's that kind of a guy. He's where, you know, he would want to make you happy. So if I pushed it, you know, I'm sure I could be living with him or whatever, but I just don't go there, and I don't know if it's because it's my intuition or if it's just that I've been single so long, I don't even know if I could do it, you know. But we have a very respectful relationship, and it's built on that. There isn't this, like, you know, I can't say there's this mad love going on. So I think if we're both comfortable and... But there is an anger streak in him that, you know, that kind of, not just with me, but more so with other people and in social environments. You know, he just has, I don't know, maybe a touch of Asperger's or something, but it just seems that. So I think about that, and, you know, long-term-wise, is that something that would be an issue, or would we always have
this? It looks like... You know, the card's coming up on him, and it's on my deck that I use when I do readings on the phone or on the radio show is a little bit of a rigged deck, which means you're only supposed to have one card of each. But when I do readings, because I'm the one pulling the cards, usually if you were here, you'd be pulling the cards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some doubles, and it kind of confirms things so I know. The devil card came up twice, and the devil card on a relationship means – if you were to be with him on a day-to-day basis, it could go very toxic. Like you're,
okay. And
I think you've been single, you've had relationships before, and you know what could happen long-term in a relationship with people, and it's on a day-to-day basis, he's not the easiest person to live with.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I
you
agree.
Know, he can... You know, he has some anger issues, and, you know, you're an older soul, you're a nice person, and you're not inspiring those issues in him. You know, you don't push his crazy buttons, you do what you're supposed to do. You're an old soul, you know, you're a good person. But if you live with him on a day-to-day basis, you know, he's got some boundary issues, and he's, you know, a person who isn't the easiest person. So, you know, perhaps this is the perfect love affair for you at this time in your life. You still live in your own space, and he lives in his, and you see each other, and it's nice when you see each other. And, you know, this may be the perfect way to have him in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're going to laugh further when I tell you I shuffled them again, and I didn't even realize there were three devil cards in this deck.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I just keep shoving different, you know, different mixed decks, you know, like together. So, I mean, you know, I was looking at it going, oh, my God. Like, yeah, I think you know that this relationship is good the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whether you could move it to the next level, and I'm sure he probably would live with you. But, you know, you didn't come this far in liberation, like living alone, supporting yourself, being independent, to get involved in a relationship with a man who may be difficult on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, not that he doesn't love you, not that, you know, you're bringing out the best in him and he's been, you know, good to you. But as far as this going to be someone you're going to live with in the future, I'm not so sure because you could see he doesn't get along with certain people. He doesn't get along with people a lot
right.
of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're just a person he gets along with because you know, you're not living with him. You don't have to share anything with him. You don't have to see him all the time. So there's not much negotiation that has to take place. Does he get along with his other family members?
He doesn't really have too many family members, so it's hard to say.
Does he get along with his friends, or like who is he?
I think sometimes they tolerate him. You know, they've been friends for so long, and you know, his wife has passed. His wife was best friends with all other wives, you know. So I think they kind of tolerate him, you know, when he goes off his little.
Well, you can see, you know, it's usually the good that dies first. Notice his wife is dead. Okay, let's take that as a red flag. Okay, it's like a big red flag thing. You know, like there was no way out but death for me. Like I loved him, but I didn't like him, and he was a pain in the ass on it. Because I was wondering, who was telling me he was a pain in the ass on a day-to-day basis. It was her. He's a pain in the ass on a day-to-day basis, and they all knew that she was a very sweet woman. I don't know if you know he's told you. You know, she was a nice woman, and you know, well liked by everybody.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, they accepted him more because of her.
Right.
And, you know, did she have cancer, by the way, this woman?
She did.
Okay,
exactly.
And that's what I thought, because
exactly,
she said cancer. Now, cancer is very strong elements of anger. So stuff down anger.
She had it when she was really young, like in her 20s. And then it kind of went into remission. But all the chemo and such that she had when she was young, as she grew older, like her hips became brittle and, you know, shoulder replacements and, you know, her body was affected by it, you know, because she grew up with all that stuff going on. So she couldn't have children. And so she basically was sick probably maybe the last 5 years of her life.
Right. And she's just
in her 50s.
Saying that, you know, she loved him, but, you know, he wasn't easy, and you know, she's, you know, very kind about him, really. She's a nice lady, but what she's saying, you know, it was a burden to him. You know, she became a burden, and not that he was, you know, saying that to her, but, you know, she was pretty disabled for a while, and it wasn't easy for him, and, you know, he's more was used to being waited on, him being waited on, than having to wait on another person and help them. So, you know, she just says, you know, she had brought you in alignment with him because she thought you would be good for him in every way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, tread lightly here. See what's there. I'm not seeing that he's probably going to be the forever guy for you, by the way.
Okay.
That,
okay.
You know, he's good for now. He's a nice guy. He treats you well. But also, no soulmate card came up. This is not a very strong soulmate connection.
No, there isn't. That is very, I mean, we would both say it's missing, that bond, you know.
That spark.
That's why I said we're respectful to each other. And, you know, he does everything right. I mean, he doesn't do any bad boy things. And I don't, you know.
No, he's not a bad boy. She said he was never a bad boy. He just said he was more passive aggressive.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he would hold a grudge for a week.
Do you see
like
anybody
that
coming?
See a nice relationship here, except what's happening is that, the more time you know, how often do you see him? Because it keeps you from getting out there and maybe, meeting somebody else and, spending time, you know, going out and looking for somebody else. Do you see him several times a week?
Yeah, which is what I hate. I hate that because I've done it pretty much my whole life. So it's like, I dread doing that.
What you're doing here is kind of settling.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's a nice guy. He isn't going to hurt you.
Right.
You know, and he isn't going to, do anything to, you know, upset you, but you know, you're almost cheating yourself by staying with him.
Yeah.
Because it's keeping you from perhaps finding somebody a little bit better or so for you. And, of course, also a soulmate. So maybe make it a little, everything else looks pretty good in your life.
Good.
But maybe just try to go sign up for a course or something where you can meet some new friends or new people and then sort of expand your friendship world a bit.
Okay.
But there's a little bit of settling here with him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always gone out with guys that ended up being bad boys, you know. And so it's just so refreshing not to have that, you know. It's just like, oh, my God, to be able to trust someone, you know, and not trust in them and then them betray you. So it's really, it's
okay,
a blessing.
Okay, this is the path of safety, the illusion of safety. You know, this is like
right.
a safety net, but not,
yeah.
you know, we're sort of not on earth to, like, take the path of the illusion of security. You know what I mean? We're here to take the path of love. I mean, you called into this show. You didn't call into Dr. Laura, who would be saying, well, be happy he's a good man and he goes to work. And stop complaining and stop bitching, you women. You bitch too much, okay? He's a good guy. He's solid, you know?
You're
you
right.
called into this show.
Oh,
where,
God.
Where I would
I
call
almost,
you on your illusion of security.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. And again, he's not a bad man. And
no,
you know,
it wouldn't be a bad way to live your life. It's almost like, oh God, I don't have to worry about the 7 years that I go out with somebody, then we break up and I cry for 3 years, and then, you know, like I don't feel like that's going to happen. You know. So
well, you don't love him enough to cry.
Nice
even, you don't love him enough to cry, even if he left. So think about that. I mean, it's like talking to dead people is a brutal thing to do for a living, by the way. Because I hear them saying is they never regret loving. They regret they didn't love well enough. They didn't take a risk. They didn't get out there and have a whole life. They settle for a half life. And, you know, it's one of the things that has taught me, you know, it's really, you know, first of all, if you don't want to have to walk the earth again mandatorily, whether you want to or not, I would tell you try to embrace that there's soulmate love and one that you can maintain, because part of our life lesson is to have a soulmate love that we maintain.
Okay.
And
then
we got to keep walking this earth till we have that. So, you know, you could kind of walk the rest of your life through him, but you will definitely have to walk the earth again whether you like it or not. And wouldn't you rather kind of say, maybe I'll stay up here in spirit. Maybe I don't need to walk the earth again. Maybe
looking forward to doing this again.
And if you do have to, or you're asked to because you have a particular mission, or, you know, God would make your life pretty easy the next time. You know, kind of like you say we have a mission we have to do. God will give you good parents, easy start in life, open every door and breaks. So that would be kind of your lives that are sort of optional can sometimes be a lot easier, unless you're Jesus, an ascended master who took that hard lifetime that he knew they would kill him and crucify him. I mean, I wouldn't take on the Jesus lifetime if a guy asked me if I was an ascended master.
No.
I might take one that was a mission that he's going to make open doors and make it easy.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'd sign up for that.
I just try to get my clients to have that easy next lifetime or easier next lifetime if we have to have one. So
right.
I'm always just telling you're going to learn these lessons this lifetime, the next lifetime.
But you're going to learn them. You're going to learn them, and you're going to learn them.
So isn't it better to kind of learn them this time as much as we can?
Right.
And, you know, and of course when, you know, people call into me, they know they're going to really hear some real truths. They don't call in here to hear lies. Yeah, they don't call in here to hear lies or hear what they want to have said. You know, they want to hear, truth and,
That's right. Exactly.
And you wouldn't have called in if you weren't a little bit in the back of your mind wanting something a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. But I also want to be grateful for what I have, because, like I say, we do have a nice life, you know, together and do things and we travel, and it's like kind of nice to have a partner. Because I've been single for most of my life, so it's kind
of
like, well,
of course it's nice.
I'm enjoying this. You know, but
that's God's way of saying you don't want to be alone the rest of your life.
Right, right.
Which you might have been able to be alone. You know, you were getting too accustomed to being alone. But now that you're used to being with a partner or a person, of course we always evolve and grow. Now we might want a little more intimate partnership. So unfortunately human beings learn certain things and then other lessons start coming up in them. So the learning process doesn't stop.
Exactly.
I mean, unfortunately, some people try to stop it. They just like, this is it. That's all I'm going to learn on this lifetime. And they spend their whole life not trying to stop it. You're too, like, soul-searching, too old a soul, too much know yourself. So it's not always a blessing. Sometimes if we just
right.
could have been happy, you know, happy with less, you know, or happy with
right.
like whatever. I mean, my own life is always, do I want a smaller life or a bigger life? I don't know if I just want to, you know, sit around and go live on a farm the rest of my life, or I wanted, like, you know, write 20 more books. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like,
right, right.
But very little am I totally happy with any spot that I'm in. It's always like, okay, now there's something else I need to learn,
right.
evolve, or grow. So,
right.
Again, if you're an older soul like you are, then your soul lessons, you know, you can't sit too comfortably for more than 5 years without God rocking your boat a little bit and shaking your tree,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So you're getting the tree is being shaken a little bit, you know?
You know, it's like, you know, my girlfriends, you know, I'll go out with them and I go, oh, God, I'm so glad I don't have to do this. I'm so, you know, all I do is go out with them one night in that bar scene and I'm like, oh, my God, I hate this.
We're not going to put you in a bar scene. We're not going to put you in a bar scene. You're going to meet this other man probably going away in a different way, but not in a bar scene. So we don't want you to do the bar scene. Well, anyway,
okay.
we are at the end of our show, and unfortunately,
well,
I didn't get...
thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
And you too. Happy New Year to Pennsylvania and
thank
to you.
Thank you.
Hey, bye.
Right, bye.
Now, I'm sorry we didn't get to Pat, but if Pat calls in next week, we will put her right to the top of the line, and I think... you know, I see she's having a hard time with Grace and there's lots of tension and nasty. My advice to her is to not get nasty back until we speak to her next week, Nicole. You know, we're going to tell Pat, no nasty back to Grace. Be nice. And, you know, you're all getting depressed and you can't be angry and depressed at the same time. So sometimes when we don't want to be depressed anymore, we start screaming. So figure out what's making you depressed, and I promise we will talk to you next week. Nicole, are you still there with us? I know the puppy was
yes,
running
I am.
Around.
I don't know what happened. Blog Club kicked me off and put me back on again. So
okay, good. But we will put her to the front of the class next week. And,
absolutely, we will. Hang in there, Pat.
Okay, hang in that. And
most
our
often mantra- that means that you're not ready for the reading yet. There's probably something that you're going to learn this week. That's going to shed some light onto your situation for when you talk
right,
about
and that's week. And that's pretty much what I would tell her. But again, if our partner is getting nasty, that means we have to get nicer. Okay.
Yep.
Two nasty people, nothing that you know. Be nice. You know, try to break the energy because being nasty is a habit, a bad habit, and when it starts, it's hard to break. So being nice is a habit too. So we're going to start being nice habit. Be nice. Well, good night, everybody. Nicole, we'll see you next week. And keep us posted on Facebook with what's ever happening with the arson case. And we all want to know about that. Okay, good night,
absolutely.
Everybody.
I will. Good night.